On Monday, we were made aware of the fact that it was World Diabetes Day. So on Friday, which is obviously this morning, I'm joined by Carmen Bodenstein, who is the marketing manager for Area 3 in India, Middle East and Africa cluster of Roche Diabetes Care. She has more than 10 years of experience in the field of diabetes. She is passionate about diabetes and appreciates being a part of an organization that improves patient outcomes through innovative solutions. Outside of work, Carmen is a wife and a mother to a 7-year-old son, Franco. Her hobby include hiking and photography. Good morning, Carmen. Thank you so much for being on Impact 103 FM's Morning Drive.
Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Carmen, can you briefly explain what diabetes is and the types of diabetes one gets?
Yes, sure. So diabetes really is a chronic condition, and it occurs when there are raised levels of blood glucose or blood sugar. And this is really due to the person's body not being able to produce enough insulin, that's a hormone, or not being able to use the hormone insulin effectively. Now, insulin is really an essential hormone, and it's produced by the body's pancreas. And the job of insulin really is it's almost easy to think of insulin being a key. And what we need to do is get blood glucose from the blood into cells, because cells will then take that glucose and convert it into energy. But we need the hormone insulin as the key to the door of the cell. So if the insulin isn't there, we actually can't get the glucose from the blood into the cell, and the cell can't then make the energy. So if insulin isn't there, it's not working properly, it means that glucose levels will then increase in the bloodstream. And if that then is that way over a long period of time, it will then cause complications. And that could be, for example, kidney disease, it could be heart disease, it could increase your risk for stroke in the long term, could also increase your risk for eye disease. So it really is not great to have those elevated blood glucose levels over a long period of time. So in terms of the types of diabetes, so there are actually many types of diabetes, but there are two main types that a lot of people are aware of. The first one is what we call type 1 diabetes, and this is the one that's least common of the two that I'm going to discuss. So about 5% of all people with diabetes have got type 1 diabetes. And type 1 is usually diagnosed early in childhood or in adolescence. And type 1 diabetes is where people really cannot produce any insulin. And the cause of that really is often not known. In some cases, it is an autoimmune reaction where the body actually then destroys the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. So those people need to start injecting insulin already from the beginning of their diagnosis, and they need to inject insulin for the rest of their life. But obviously, with insulin injections, they can still live a very happy, healthy life with no problems at all. Then type 2 diabetes is actually the bigger concern, and about 95% of all people with diabetes have got type 2 diabetes. And we often have this misconception that type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle condition, but type 2 diabetes really is has got a big genetic component. It's a hereditary condition. And there are many risk factors for developing type 2 diabetes. But with type 2 diabetes, it's a combination of your pancreas not being able to make enough insulin. But in combination with that, it's also what we call insulin resistance. So if you now think back to what I talked about, the lock and the insulin being the key, it's almost as if the lock becomes a little bit old and rusty. So the insulin is there, but it just can't actually fit into that lock. So it can't open up the cell door. So now in type 2, you've got the combination of not enough insulin and the insulin resistance, and that then causes that your blood glucose levels are slightly elevated. And type 2 is normally diagnosed only later in adulthood, although we actually do see some type 2 being diagnosed in childhood as well. But risk definitely does increase as you get older.
Carmen, where and how can one get tested for diabetes?
So for type 1 diabetes, screening is not really recommended because as soon as you develop type 1 diabetes, you'll have these kind of prominent symptoms. You'll have, for example, extreme thirst. You'll need to go to the bathroom very often. People might get very nauseous. And often they will go to their doctor because of those symptoms and they might get diagnosed really quickly. The big problem is with type 2 diabetes. We know that approximately 4.2 million South Africans have got type 2 diabetes, but 50% of those are actually not even aware of their condition. And it's because type 2 diabetes is almost silent. Many of the symptoms go unnoticed or there are just no symptoms. And that's why it's so important to go for screening for type 2 diabetes. So even if you don't have any symptoms, you feel completely fine, but you do have certain risk factors for developing type 2 diabetes, it's very important to go for a screening test. And you will do that with your doctor, with your normal GP. You can go to a clinic as well, like a Dis-Chem or any pharmacy, just for a blood glucose screening test. But really anyone with a high risk, so for example, anyone with a family history, so a mom or a dad or a sibling, if you are slightly overweight, if you are physically inactive or are leading an unhealthy lifestyle, if you have got high cholesterol, high blood pressure, if you had previous gestational diabetes, so that's diabetes that you develop during pregnancy, that normally is a temporary condition, but then will increase your risk for developing type 2 later on in life. And also, if you've been diagnosed with pre-diabetes before, it's also very important to get screening on a regular basis.
Carmen, regarding the management of diabetes, how does one manage and monitor their blood glucose levels? I mean, I'm sure that is quite tricky to monitor that and keep it at a normal level.
Yes. But you know what, with your team, with your doctor, with your diabetes educator, you can really manage your condition very well. So number one, I would say, is really to take your medication as prescribed by your doctor. That's the number one thing that you need to do. So go for your follow-ups on a regular basis, follow your recommendations by your doctor. Number two really is to eat a healthy diet. And there's nothing really like a diabetic diet. It's the same foods that all of us actually need to eat to really be healthy. Number three is to include exercise every day, even if it's just a small amount, but that's really important to be physically active. And then number four, if you are overweight, to try and lose weight. I think that's also very important if you've got type 2 diabetes. But then also just to keep on monitoring your blood glucose, because if you don't monitor your blood glucose, you don't know if your medication is working or if your treatment plan is working. So you can monitor your blood glucose using a blood glucose monitoring device where you check your blood glucose a few times a day, once a day, a couple times a week. It all depends on the type of diabetes you have. And you will then keep track of those diabetes numbers or blood glucose numbers, and that will then help your doctor to guide you in terms of your treatment.
Carmen, you mentioned a diabetes device. What technology is recommended to keep track of diabetes?
Yes, so a blood glucose monitor is really the most kind of cost-effective way to keep track of your blood glucose numbers. You can get that through your medical scheme. You can get it through clinics as well. And as I mentioned, it all depends on the type of diabetes that you have, how often you need to check your blood glucose. Just really important is to keep track of your blood glucose numbers, because if you don't keep track of that, it doesn't give you a lot of information to work with. And that's the one mistake I think a lot of people make, is they check their blood glucose numbers, but they don't do anything with those blood glucose numbers. So keep track of them, whether it's now in a logbook or whether it's using an app where your blood glucose numbers automatically are transferred from your meter to an app and all the information is already on there and you can share that with your doctor. Or your doctor can even download your blood glucose meter into software that they have on their computer to analyze results. But very important to check your blood glucose levels regularly. It helps your doctor to see what treatment changes he needs to make, but it also helps the person with diabetes to see what foods are working with them. Is exercise giving them low blood glucose, or is it doing them well? So it really helps them to manage their own condition as well.
Carmen, earlier on you mentioned to have a good and a healthy diet. What type of healthy diet do you recommend so one knows what foods are suited for diabetes management?
Yes, so really not to make it complicated, I think the first thing that all South Africans need to do is just to include more vegetables. And it's tricky at first, but once you start doing it, it really does become easier. But an easy way to kind of visualize that for yourself is to imagine a plate of food, and you do this with lunch and with dinner. And you take your plate of food and you half that. And you want to aim to that one half of your plate to fill that with vegetables, but they're not the starchy vegetables on that side. The starchy vegetables such as your sweet potato, your butternut, your pumpkin potatoes would be on the other half because those contain carbohydrates. So on that side would be all your non-starchy vegetables. So for example, your tomatoes, cucumber, lettuce, so all your salads, green beans, broccoli, cauliflower, onions. There are so many vegetables that you can include. So they really include all the vitamins, minerals that you need, antioxidants, but then also help to keep you full, include a lot of fiber, and then also help you to reduce your portion size of your starches and your carbohydrates, because that's normally the culprit that will lead to increased blood glucose levels. So really, I think the number one tip is lots of vegetables with lunch and lots of vegetables with dinner.
Lots of vegetables with lunch, lots of vegetables with dinner. Carmen Bodenstein, thank you so much for your time on The Morning Drive to bring awareness to diabetes. And so we know now how screening takes place, how you are able to manage glucose levels and to understand what it takes to keep a life that is healthy. Appreciate your time this morning, Carmen.